All right, we're up to. We are up to. Pasuk Gimel. Everyone here on mute. Got some background noise here. Let's see. Get this out of the way. Okay. We are up to Pasuk. Let's get this out of the way over here. All right, we'll go over here. We're up to Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Vayavoy Moshe v'Aroin el Paro v'Yomri Lov. And they said to Paro, Koyama Hashem, so says Hashem Elokeho Yevrim, the God of the Jews. Ad Mosai me antifa. How long will you refuse Leonois mi ponoi? Leonois means to humble yourself. That's how we ordinarily translate it. Shalach ami v'Avduni, send them my people, let them serve me. Now notice over here, over here the word Leonois, in reference to Lechem Oini. Okay, Leonos. So we hear Hashem is turning the tables. We eat matzah on Pesach because it's Lechem Oni, poor man's bread. And here at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the tables are being turned. Hashem is saying to Paro, now the time has come for you to be the Oni, for you to humble yourself before me. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Rashi says, Leonos kitargumo le'is kino'o. Hachno'o. Hachno means humbling, to be submissive. Vuhu migzeras oni. The word oni, me'anta lihiyois oni v'shafel mipnav. To be, you are, me'anta means you are refusing Leonos. Me'anta, you are refusing lihiyois from being an oni, like a poor man. V'shafel, and lowly me panai from before me Hashem. Let's take a look over here. Pasuk Gimel of the Targum. The Targum says, "Ve'ol Moshe v'Aaron levos Paro." They enter. Vayavol v'Aaron. They are entering. They are entering into the chamber of Paro. The Amaru lay, and they say to Paro, "Kindon." Kindon means in Pasuk Gimel. Kindon means it means so. Kindon means kins ko. Koyomar means kindon like this. Omar Hashem Eloko. Dehudoe adwen imati. Imati means until when. Okay, and mosa means, I guess it means until when. Ad imati. Until when? We have to look at that word in more detail. Misorev you at, will you refuse le iskinoo, to humble yourself min kodomai before me. Shalach ami, send my people, the yifluchun kodomai, let them worship before me. All right, let's take a look at the Mefarshim, see over here exactly what this pasuk is trying to say according to the Targum and how it relates to Rashi, Pasuk Gimel. We go down over here, Misarevat, how long will you refuse? Targum loshna kosev me anto kimosh mashukosev asamuch mo'ein ato, refuse. Do loik Rashi lel, not like Rashi, chaperish mo'ein shem toyar, sarbon. Sarbon means to refuse. Okay, so he's saying misorev. Let's see. Vitzorchin shtegim ad ona me antem atoin misorvin milas aguf lefnei apoel v'kan milas aguf achrei apoel. Okay. I'm not really sure what he means over here. I'd rather not focus on this. Let's just go further. It means how long will, according to the Targum, means how long will you misorev? Misorev over here appears in the same way Rashi is learning. Rashi says me anto means to refuse. Misorev also means to refuse. I'm not sure exactly what he's saying over here, because in the Rashi that we just learned, Rashi says, Me'anta, you have refused lihiyois oni v'shafel liponai. So he's making a very fine difference. Let's pass this over. Let's go to the next character. We're limited in time. Let's try to focus on things that are more exciting, at least to us. Everything's exciting, but at least to us. Le'iskinah, to humble, kavanasu, l'shnakasu, le'anois, migziras oni. Okay, a poor man, like Rashi. Me'anta lihiyois oni v'shafel liponai, v'tag mo l'shnakasu, hu yachni'im. Word Yachni means to humble. Mashma, shekol siruva shel paru nova megeusai. So this is very interesting. Okay, he's making a point. This is not really related to anything special. The difference between Rashi and Unkelis is that all of Paro's problems all are rooted in his arrogance. V'loy machmash shaloi rotsa lahafsid revoi savodim. This is a very fascinating concept. It's coming to point out over here. And that is the word me on me and mosa me anta le onois. if we were to study Paro in ancient times and try to understand what exactly was holding Paro back from sitting at Klal Yisrael, certainly then everyone would come up with a different suggestion as what exactly was he thinking. What was going through the mind of Paro? Maybe some will argue he had a political agenda. Maybe it was not popular to allow the Jews to leave, and he felt threatened, he felt that they would vote him out. Not that Egypt was a democracy, but maybe there would be an uprising. There would be some type of coup to dethrone Paro. Maybe someone would cancel his social media accounts. Maybe the
I thought it was all economics. He had to provide for the country, so he had to slave labor, and that's the way he.
Okay, that's what he says. That's what he says over there. Exactly. That's what he's saying. That's what we would think. If we would take 10 people in a room and sit them down and ask 10 people, tell us what, study ancient Egyptian history and culture, and tell us why did Paro refuse to allow the Jewish people to leave despite the fact that he was being smitten right and left with the 10 Makos. And everyone in the room will give you an answer. And in fact, because there are only 10 people, they might come up with 20 answers as to why. Everyone has to show up the other one. But as you said correctly, is that probably it's economics. It's all about economics, because the Jews were providing enormous benefit for the country's free slave labor. And sending them out would be a major effect on their gross national product, okay, on their livelihood, on the economy. Or maybe some will argue, under different suggestions, maybe it just wasn't popular. It just wasn't that he was afraid of his own political future. Or maybe it was because his wife told him what to do. How often do we see that in the world of politics, that people just do whatever their wife tells them, even though they rather have shalom bayis. They rather have shalom bayis than could care less about 10 million people. That's not so uncommon. In this world today, people do crazy things because what their wife tells them, even though they know what they're doing is foolish. There can be 100 reasons why Paro did not want to send out the Jewish people. And here, this Rashi, this Pasuk, with the influence of the interpretation of the Targum and Rashi, is telling us all of those reasons are not correct. There was no threat to his political future. There was no threat to the economy of the country. There was no threat to, it wasn't his wife. It wasn't any possible suggestion you will come up with as to why Paro refused to send out Klal Yisrael is not valid, is not correct. There's only one reason why he did not want to send them out. Arrogance. It was just personal arrogance. It's, I said no, and no is no. Don't challenge my honor, my gaiva. Okay, it goes to show how far gaiva can go. It's not uncommon. You see this all the time in this world. People are incredible about gaiva, and the gaiva does themselves in. And that's what he's trying to say over here. He's trying to read this into the Targum. You see over here is the word le'onos. The word le'onos, we don't really know what the word means. We can talk about this for days. What is the word le'onos? The Targum came along and he says the one very critical word. Le'iskino'oh. The word le'iskino'oh is hachno'oh. Hachna means humble yourself. Deflate your ego. Now, that's what did Rashi, let's go back to Rashi. What did Rashi say? Rashi said, yeah, ditto. Le'onos kitargumo le'is kina'a. Humble. Hachna. Hachna is an emotion. It's an emotion. Ruhu migizras oni. Me'antelios oni v'shofal miponai. Okay, hachna. So let's go back and read this again over here, see how he elaborates upon this. Liskino, Kanosa, Lushan, Hakosa, Leonos, Migiris, Oni, the Antelios, Oni, Vishok, Meus, Rashi, the thing with Lushan, Kosta, who Yachni, Masha, Shokol, Suvoi, Kol, Siruvoi, Shopar, Nova, all of his refusal to float was the cause of May Gay Uso from his arrogance. The Lay Machmashle, Rotsala, Hafsid, Rivois, Ab, it's not because he was afraid he was going to lose money. It's not because of the money. Unclus, Mepharish, Leonos, Benikro kmo lehi onois, the enoi l'shoin inui v'tzar. It does not mean affliction. does not mean pain. Kmo im anes aneosoi. Shetargumo im ono teoni. The different word there. Gam inu loshon inu loshon shibud. Kmo vis ani tachas yodecha. Shetargumo the ishtabdi. El loshon mushal. It's a borrowed word. Meinim oni v'shafel v'nikra hamchusa kesef. A person who does not have money in the bank, he is called an oni. Al shem shu nichna lakol. Kmo le onois mi ponai umetargimin la le iskan o, to be humbled. Period. Okay, so he's saying over here some very powerful stuff over here. He's saying really amazing things. He's saying over here that from this, we always talk about this topic, that words in Tanakh don't really have any definite translation. In most languages, you have a word, you go to the dictionary, the unabridged version of the English language, whichever dictionary you want, the Oxford unabridged dictionary of the English language, and you look at a word, and they will give you a definite translation, definite meaning of the word. And sometimes there can be many meanings, there can be one meaning, two meanings, three meanings, the way it's used. Many times it's the word is abused, and people use it the wrong way, and after a generation, the dictionary gives it, oh, listen, if the people already abuse the word, if you can't beat them, join them, even though the word was not meant to ever meant to be used that way, since that's how people use the word. So you know what? We'll put a new entry into the dictionary. That's now going to be the definition. A dictionary is always attempting to take a word and to give it a definite, a defined, precise meaning. And if you deviate from that precise meaning, you are committing a crime. You are an abuser. And if you do the crime enough, you may get away with it. You may get away with it where, in the next generation, that will become the new definition. They'll put a new entry into the dictionary. But that's, and that will become the definition. In Lashon HaKodesh, this often, over and over again, a word does not have a dictionary. There's no dictionary for Hebrew. Lashon HaKodesh does not have a dictionary because there is no definite translation for any single word. Every single word adapts. You have a shoresh. The shoresh can be two letters, can be three letters. It depends on, you know, different opinions. It depends on situation. Two, three letters. And the word will adapt to its environment. Okay, it's like a human being. A human being has DNA. The basic DNA, 99% of the DNA of every single person in this world is exactly the same. So what makes people different? There's a teeny, teeny little mashahu in that DNA that can be different. But the basic DNA is the same. Words have a basic DNA of a word, and a basic shoresh, a basic concept, but depending on the context, has a different meaning. And we have really, over here, gave us a number of examples of the word oni, ayin nun yod. One time in here, it means poor, a poor man. It means to suffer, affliction, inu. He means to be a servant, shibut, which means that you have a contract, you have an obligations to other people. And he's telling us over here, the way the word is being used in this context means to be humiliated. It means humbled. An emotion, not to have pride and arrogance, to recognize that you are nothing. I'm just a nothing. And I someone is stepping on my head and squashing me and destroying me. I'm powerless. A poor man, an oni, is called an oni for that reason. Not because he doesn't have money. Not because, that's not the reason. The not having the money is just a cause, is just a trigger for him being humiliated and feeling that he is dependent and has to be submissive to other people. Lamai nafkamina, you have a person that doesn't have a penny in the bank, a church mouse. Today the church mouse are probably very, very, very rich because no one comes to church, so there's probably a lot of stuff for them to keep for themselves. Okay, but you have a real church mouse that's absolutely nothing. A person has nothing, and yet couldn't care less. It doesn't bother him one iota. He's arrogant and he's defiant, and he just goes on with his life, even though he has doesn't pay to his name. He just somehow manages to survive. That's not called an ani. According to what he's teaching us, that's not called an ani. The essence of the ani is what it says here in this targum, hachno'o, to be submissive, to feel the lowliness. It just so happens to that in our vocabulary, we associate an ani with a person who doesn't have any money. Because usually, 99% of the time, a person doesn't have any money, he becomes very humbled. And this is what he's saying over here, is pshat in the pots, ad mosai, ato me'ata le'onois. Le'onois means to humble yourself. And this is major, major application to halacha. Because lel Pesach, it's not so far away Pesach. On lel Pesach, we eat lechem oini. What's the goal? To sit at the Seder table with all of your finest possessions in this world, surrounded by your wonderful family, and to make believe you're living on the top of the world. And a person can very easily, the ramlevavecha, the shachach that's Hashem alokecha. You got it all. You're living the American dream. You're living whatever you want. A mitzvah's halayla is to eat matzah. Lechem oini. What is oini? So a poor man's bread. So if a very arrogant person, and he has now the matzah, he says, oh, no, I'm eating the matzah, I'm eating the same bread that the guy who doesn't have a penny to his name, it's poor people, nebuch for them, they don't have any money, they don't have a parnasa, they can't even survive. So this is all they could afford, so this is what they ate in ancient times. Now it costs $30-$40 a pound. Eat that stuff. You gotta be mamish a gevir, literally. You mamish gotta be rich to buy handmade matzah, to buy the what they charge for hand matzah today. So Yahweh here, a person is eating. Yeah, in ancient times, this is what they ate, is slave bread of a poor person. Me, haha, you know how much I paid for this? All the chumras, I went to this rebbe and that rebbe, and this year is Erev Pesach, shachali es b'Shabbos. So what are they going to make this year? This year they make the most money, because what do you make big money? They bake matzah on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Then how much does it cost the matzah? I don't know, outrageous prices. This year you can't do that because it's Shabbos. So when do they bake the matzah this year? Most people don't bake matzah, but some people are very brave. They're going to bake matzah mitzvah Shabbos at the same time when you're eating your seder. There are going to be people baking matzah in the matzah factories. I don't know how in the world you can be able to get it so quickly. Someone's going to have to run and bring it to you. If they do bake matzah on the Mitzvah Shabbos, they'll probably charge triple what they would charge if it be Erev Pesach. So you're playing plenty of money. It's not so easy to become humble when you eat the matzah. And yet it's called Lechem Oini. The goal of the matzah is humility. Humility. Not just a zecher of eating a piece of bread that a person who's poor purchases. Totally missed the boat. Totally. Because even when we talk about a person who's called an ani, the real meaning of ani means a person who is humiliated, who is in a matzev, shalom aleichem, a person who is in a matzev of hachno, not a person who is poor. It's not about the money, it's about the hachma. Okay, let's go back and take a look over here, and let's finish over here with the Liam Parish. Okay, so therefore, that's basically here the theme here in this parish. Let's go now to the next pasuk Dalet. Pause like ki in mo'ein ata l'shalech esani, if you will refuse to send on my people, hilni maybe mochar arbe begulach, and now we're up to the eighth makar, the mark of arbe locust. Rashi Pasuk Dalet. Rashi says, there is no Rashi. How do you like that? Let's go to the Targum. Arei im misorev at l'shalacho yos ami ho'ano meisi, I will bring mechar tomorrow goivo is locust bishumach in your boundary, in your tchum. like on Shabbos, the Tuchum Shabbos, in your boundaries. Let's see over here on the bottom when he explains these words. Goiva, I will bring locust. Hamil Goiva Nimseis Kablashan Amikra. It's a Hebrew word. It's a Nachum. We learned that once upon a time. Rechosav Rashi, Sheyesh Sheva Mine Goiva. Rashi says there are seven different types of locusts. Seven times. Kosav Medrash, Lomanikushma Govai, the Govei Dino Demore. It collects the din of the master. It's called Goiva. It's a collector. What's the collector? When a person is guilty, a person has done an avera. If a person has committed a sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the collector to take away his money, in order basically to somebody to punish him for his averos. Okay. That's cause of the medrash. Okay, that's called a gova. So therefore, it's called a gova. Arba is locust. And there's another word for locust called gova, and there are seven different types of gova. And the gova over here is, means to go to collect. Okay, next, that's it. Next pasuk, pasuk K. Moving ahead, v'chisan, the arba will cover as ein, or it's the eye of the earth. The ayin of the earth. That never knew the earth has an eye. We know, paschar, it's a spiha. We know that koirach was swallowed by the mouth. The earth has a mouth. Moshe prayed that the earth shall open up its mouth and swallow Koirach v'chol adosa. And here we learn that the earth has an eye. The chisoy will cover us ein ha'aretz, the eye of the earth. Now notice, this is very similar to choshech. The next makkah is going to be choshech. And here, arbe, in a certain sense, is very similar to choshech, because also it's going to be darkness. Darkness to the earth. V'lo yuchal lirois es ha'aretz. Man will not be able, now here's something that's very strange. It says that the earth cannot see. It's going to cover the ein ha'aretz. Now, obviously, the simple translation is ein does not mean the eye. Ein means the surface. It's an unusual word. And from the context of here, ein means the surface of the earth. But you cannot deny the fact that the word ayin yud nun also is the word ayin. That's not the way it's spelled, that's not the way it's pronounced, but it's also related to the word ayin. And if you take that drush, then we have something very interesting. It cannot see, and we cannot see it. We know that that Kadosh Baruch Hu is called the Royeh, the Einoi Nireh. A Kadosh Baruch Hu sees, but is not seen. We human beings, what are we? We are seen, but we cannot see. We can't see Hashem, but we are seen by Hashem. Hashem sees us, but we can't see Hashem. Now we're having both cannot be seen. The earth cannot see, and we cannot see the earth. Because now that the earth is covered, so the earth can't see, and we can't see the earth either. There's a double blindness that is taking place in this pasuk. The chisos in aretz, lo yichal liras aretz. Man will not be able to see the earth. The chisos v'yachal es yetzer hapleita. Now, what else will the arba do? The arba, besides covering the earth, it's going to consume the remnant of the plate. The plate means the leftover grain. Haneshes kamen habara, because what happened by Barad? Barad, the Barad came and wiped out certain crops, but it left over certain crops. Hachita v'yapishta loinuku kia pishta aviv kia afkari. There were two crops that were destroyed, and there were two crops that were not destroyed. The crops that were immature were soft. They were able to take the blow of Barad. But the crops that were developed, that were mature, were very stiff and tough. They were unable to deal with the oppression, the Barad, and they were wiped out. So v'chal es rapel la mishar tchamen abodah, v'chal es kol eitz, all the eitz, all the trees, ha'atzamech lechem in ha'sodeh. So there's so many different ideas happening in this one pasuk. Number one, the earth's eye has been covered. Number two, we cannot see the earth. Number three, first of all, number three, we're saying is that it's going to destroy, it's going to consume, the goyva is going to consume the remnant of what Bora did not destroy. And number four, it's going to obliterate the trees that grow from the ground. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi says it's in Aretz, Esmare Haaretz. So Rashi, the word ein is an unusual word. It means the surface, the appearance of the earth. V'lo yuchal ha-roye, the roye, the one that wants to look, he's not going to be able to live with Haaretz. V'loshen kitzor adib, the pasuk spoke v'loshen kitzor. Let's in Targum, Uncle is pasuk, hey, the yichve yos ein shimsha. The goiva will cover, v'loshen chafui is to cover, ufnei haman chafui. What does that mean in the Megillah? He covered his face. He was put to shame. Chafui really means shame. The earth, it seems at the time over here, is given some homiletic interpretation. Because the word chafui, it says v'chisa, that literally means a physical covering. But the word v'yichfe, the way it's used in the Megillah, has a connotation, not a physical covering. It's put to shame. The earth will be put to shame. Yos ein shimsha. Now, what does that mean? The eye of the shimsha da'ara. What in the world does that mean? Shimsha, the sun? How did that word land in this pasuk? It says here, v'chisoy will cover us ein ha'aretz. What are you talking about? We put to shame, yos, the ein shimsha. So we have to see. The eye, the surface of the sun of the earth. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. We'll see. The law ye call the mikhsa yos ara, you will not be able to gaze at the earth. The yechoil, and the gavai will consume yoshar she zofsa. This word is a very popular word, probably the most popular word, whatever was saved. She zofsa, whatever survived. The survival. Now he's over here taking the paleta. Plata means to survive. The she'edis ha-plata. And it will consume whatever survived, the ish te'aras, l'chay, whatever was left over l'chay, min barda, from the hail, the yechoil, and it will eat, the goyva will eat, yos called ilono, all of the trees, the atzmach l'chayin, min chakla, that sprout from the field, that he says, now he's chakla, Chakla means what? He's min ha-sodeh. Okay, so now let's see over here the perish in the bottom. Over here, move this thing over here, which is in my way. On the screen, you don't see that. I see it. Okay, here we go. Here we go to Pasuk. We'll go over here, Ein Shimsha. This is a very difficult part of the Pasuk. Rotsu Leimar. Nitzoitz ha-shemesh ha-noifel al-aretz. There's a spark of the sun that falls upon the earth. Lugalis Loshon Akasav Vichisa, then we go Perusha Loshon Halava, it means concealment. Hamafsik, it separates Ben Hashemesh, Ubein Oretz, Ben Hashemesh, Ubein Oretz, Ubein Oretz, Ma'alim, it conceals, Es Hanitzoitz, a spark, Shoyovoi El Oretz, Mizesh Lutigim Yachve Yos Chazoisi the Ara. Why didn't the Targum say the chazoisa means the appearance? Why did it say over here the word the shemesh? Does that mean ein lashon mare? K'moshe perishu b'das Rashi, but he needs something else. Now over here he's saying a lot of words, which we have to try to decipher. What he seems to be saying over here is something that we have to ask the scientists to really explain. The word, the key word here that is the subject of everyone's attention appears to be the word ein. This is the word. This is the culprit. This is a very strange word. Rashi says it means, Rashi right away took note of the difficulty of this word, and that's why he said it means mare, the appearance. And Rashi is doing a classic technique. Words are not defined. A word is a general concept. It's an abstract concept. Ayin means an eye, the way we translate it, which means to see. So when you take these three letters in the context of this pasuk, it means the appearance. Appearance means what people see through the perception. Right? The classic, don't the word just a matter of letters. It's a matter of taking letters and inserting vowels and fitting it into the context of the pasuk. And Rashi is something classic, and that it will cover the appearance, the ability to behold what is upon the earth. Targum says no, it's not what it means. The word ein, he seems to indicate, means a spark that comes out of the sun, travels 8 minutes, the speed of light, it takes approximately 8 minutes from a ray of light to travel from the sun and make its impact upon the earth. Now, what is that called? He's calling it here on the bottom a nitzitz. A nitzitz in our vocabulary is something which has substance. Does light have substance? I don't know, maybe it does. Maybe light has, maybe there is such a, maybe there is something called substance to light. I always wondered about this because I people tell me I'm crazy, but I always find, maybe you can share your experience with me, that when you drive a car at night on a highway, somehow you feel you're going faster. You feel, this is what I'm saying, it's totally crazy. People tell me I'm crazy for saying this, but I just get it. When you're going, when you're driving in pitch black darkness and driving, and you're going to Muncie, you're going, I don't know, even to Lakewood, certain parts of Garden State, there are no lights, and it's very dark. Somehow it feels like there's less impediment when the sun is shining down.
Because you don't have something comparing it to.
Okay, so you're telling me it's all in the mind. And you're right, because that's the way scientists will tell you it's all in the mind.
Absolutely. That's why the moon looks bigger when it's by the buildings than when it's in the sky.
Okay, it's all a matter of perception, but I see. I don't know. I vaguely remember many years ago we were learning something more. It's not scientific. More Kabbalistic, and that is. Indeed, in the world of I don't know, halacha, Kabbalah, I don't know what you want to call it, there is substance. What is darkness? What is light and what is darkness? Is darkness, this is the whole topic in itself, is darkness the absence of light? Or is, which means when there's nothing, there's darkness. And light is something which enters, which has substance, and fills up the darkness. Or do we say just the opposite? Light is the real thing, and darkness is Hashem's creation, which means darkness has substance. And the terminology over here of the Perush and the Targum is taken from the Mizrahi, the Re'im. He's calling here the Re'im, if you notice, the Re'im. The Re'im is the Mizrahi. Reish Aleph Mem is the Mizrahi. He quotes that quite often. So the Rashi, he talks a lot of the different things, is that the word here we have in the Bible here, the Ein Shemsha, the Re'im, the Nitzoitz HaShemesh HaNoifel Al Aretz, from the Mizrahi. He seems to be saying that that light has substance, and that substance travels from the sun. We know today that it takes 8 minutes to arrive, and when it arrives, it makes impact upon the earth. This spark, which we will probably call a ray, we wouldn't go so far to say that it has substance. That will sidetrack the air with substance, because the word nitzitz, when we talk about the word nitzitz in the Gemara and Halacha, nitzitz almost always means there is substance. It may be very, very small. You only can see it under a microscope, but nitzitz always means there's some real substance, something you can touch and feel, even though it might be microscopic, but it's substance. The rays of the sun, as far as we know, as far as I know, there's no nitzitz. You can't call that a nitzitz. It's a ray of light. It's intangible. And he's saying, that's how we're after the ray of the Shemesh, it travels, but it does have substance in some shape or form. It's traveling, it's targeted to make impact with the earth, and now it's not going to be able to achieve its mission because it's being blocked. What is blocking it? The What's blocking it is the locust. So thus, he's saying the word ein. Ein is ray. The chisa means it's blocking. Chisa does not mean to cover, according to the Targum. That's why he says the word chafui. The yichve yos ein shimsha, which means it's blocked. The ein shimsha, which means the ray of the sun, is yichve, is blocked from penetrating and making contact with the earth, because the goivai is standing in the way. So we take away two incredible things. The word chisa means being blocked. It's not that it's covering it. It's blocking es ein. Ein means the rays of light. The rays of light that are traveling. It's not about you. According to Rashi, like a question, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to listen to the impact, did this crash make a noise? Old ancient question. Tree falls in the forest. There's no living creature in its vicinity to hear the impact. Did it make a noise? So what's the answer to that question? Well, it depends how you define noise. If the definition of noise are the earwaves, that there's a disturbance in the earwaves, yes, it did make a noise. If the definition of noise is 100% dependent on a living creature having a receiving tool, an item, a part of his body that can receive and detect this disturbance in the airwaves, then no, a noise was not made. This is the same exact machlokes Rashi and Umgalis regarding es ein haaretz. According to Rashi, the word ein relates to the human being who is observing. He's observing. There's locust on the ground. And now, because there's locust, I, as the human being, cannot see the ground. I cannot see the earth because it's covered. It's all about me. According to the Unkelis, this has nothing to do with you. You can go hide in a cave. The pasuk can still be understood. The rays of the sun cannot reach their destination because there's something blocking them. This has nothing to do with you. We don't need you to make the observation in order to establish the truth of what is happening right now, that the rays are not going to make contact with their destination. A means the ray of light is not able, ha'aretz, to make contact with the earth, because v'chisa, there is something that is blocking it. Okay, so it's not a matter of covering the earth. It's not the key point that the earth has been covered. The word v'chisa means there's a blockage, and that blockage prevents es ein, the spark, the ray, of reaching the destination called the aretz. Okay, that's how he learns pshat in this unkelis. It's a very, very bizarre thing. And let's go further. Okay, that's that. Now the next class. The ishta aras, lashon avar. Now he goes into the past and the future. We're not going to do this. Whichever remained. Okay, he goes into, I don't want to go through the past and the present, which one next? The atzmach, shehet smiach, tzarechim, lam lo yitikim, the tzarech lo kloshna kosa hatzumeach, v'yashom shekon al peris, shehet smiach lo eitz, kloshna kosa v'yachol yachol pri eitz. So he's saying over here, a very important dik in the Targum. When the ding that he says, the atzmach, and he did not say, the tzarech, he should have said it with a dal, the aleph does not really belong there. Because we have another example where they have the same exact word, and there the Targum says dit somach, he leaves out the aleph, and this automatically leads us to understand, as he explains, pshan the pasuk, the goivai did not destroy the trees. When the goivai left, when the makor was over, the trees were standing just like they were before. What then does it mean that the goivai is going to destroy? Going to destroy means they're going to destroy what grows on the trees. So so you will be misled. We mean the part of the face value, the ochal, it will eat, it's yes, I played Danish Lachim in number one, fine. The ochal, it will eat, es kol ho'etz. Hatzameach lochem, was with hatzameach. It means the trees that blossomed from the field. That's how I always understood it. That's simple translation, that the goivai ate up the trees. The trees that blossomed from the field. Really? Goivai don't eat up trees? Do we have on record today that goivai, they eat up trees? Goivai are very teeny creatures. They eat up the grain. They destroy the crop. Maybe they destroy the fruit on the trees. But they actually destroy the trees? Is there such a thing? So Targum says there's no such thing. And thus, when it says, Hatzameach lachem, you have to translate the pasuk to mean, it will eat as kol ho'etz, not the actual tree. It will eat, the pasuk is explaining, the fruit that grows from the tree. What do we make a bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elohim Melech Olam, Boirei Pri, the fruit ho'etz. Boirei Pri, so we don't say Boirei ho'etz, Boirei Pri ho'etz. And here, same thing, when it says over here, the eitz, it's called eitz, hatzomeach lochem, not that the tree came out of the ground, it means the fruit that came off. That's why it says this letter. Let's just one pause very quickly. Pasuk vav molu botecha, and the goivai, they're not done yet. In addition to the goivai eating up all of the crops, the leftover crops, in addition to the goivai, according to Unkelis, eating the fruits that grow on the trees, they're also going to intrude. They're going to enter into your home, molu lofuk botecha, your home, botech kolodecha, vachodech kolodetraim, asher lo yiruah v'secha v'secha v'secha. They've never seen something like this. Miyoyim ha'yoysam al ho'adav, from the day that they came into existence, ad ha'yoyim hazen, till this day, v'yif ha'yetzim mi'im paroi. And then the pasuk includes here, v'yif and v'yetzim mi'im paroi, Moshe Rabbeinu, who turned and he exited from the presence of Paro. Now, notice this is the third time we're mentioning sight. The earth can't see, the people can't see, and then it's talking about your ancestors can't see. Avoisecha va'avois avoisecha. This is really the third example of seeing. The earth is knocking, according to, if we go back and we translate the word ein, not like the Ungulis, the Drush that we said, it's ein ha'aretz, just like there's a peh by the mice of Korach, the earth has an eye, and the earth is going to be blinded. And the people are going to be blinded, they're not going to be able to see the earth. And now it says the earth can't see, you can't see, and now we make mention that your fathers, your ancestors, asher loy rohu avosecha va'avos avosecha, they also didn't see this. They also never saw. Another type of example of sight. Three different examples of sight. Let's see Rashi over here. For over here, it's in, let's see, there was no Rashi on this. And Targum on this pasuk, pasuk Rav says one very quickly. The yisum loy b'botoch your homes u'v'techol adoch b'cholich on the shayt lo chazav avosoch va'avos avosoch miyam me. They son you existed al ara aliyam hadein, and then the last words are the is peni, he turned unefak milavos from the presence of Paro. And we're going to finish up right now. Anything over here, very short over here, the yismelon batoch is going to fill up your home. Habatim yimaleim lashon eker v'malu tzachim l'fiyah diktok. Okay, your homes will be filled to the rim with locusts mitzrayed hamitzriim tzachim ashal la'el. Everything says the word Mitzrayim is not for now. You always have to judge, is the word Mitzrayim mean the nation, or does it mean the individual people of Mitzrayim? When it says the Chol Mitzrayim over here means, throughout the time over here it says the Chol Mitzrayim means, it means the people of Egypt. The people, Chol Mitzray, the citizens of Egypt, not, oops, I'm over here, not the nation. I didn't know you're okay. Anyway, we're finished. Rabbi Sai, thank you very much for joining me. And have a wonderful evening. Mishnah tomorrow will continue.
Hello, everybody. Okay, who's here? So, it's cooking in Israel.
What does that mean?
They had this big wedding, you know, I mentioned in the morning.
Yeah.
Bubba also had a big Latin
this. Yeah, what happened there? Corona? What corona?
What?
What?
In a secret place.
Yeah.
Everyone's there, no mask.